Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. The official sports betting partner of UFC is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 100-1 odds on either fighter to land a punch during the title fight. Pick either main event fighter to land a punch during this weekend's UFC 258 bout, and DraftKings will give you 100-1 odds. Just bet $1 to win 100 if either fighter lands a punch. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if either main event fighter lands a punch on Saturday. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time to ask Ross. I'm Jim Galante. He's Ross Tucker. Ross, you're ready to answer questions.
I am. I love it.
All right. Let's start with this. Tom from Tunkhannock says, I read that the new offensive coordinator runs a wide zone, 5 steps towards the tight end, then get vertical. Is that the same as outside zone? Is that what Gibbs and Shanahan ran? And before you just say yes or no, maybe you could give us a quick, what does wide zone and outside zone mean?
So wide zone and outside zone are basically the same thing. I don't know why they would even call it wide zone. It's always been outside zone. But essentially what you're trying to do, Jim, is you're trying to stretch the defense horizontally. So every defender has a gap that they are responsible for. When you really go wide and you go fast and wide, what you're doing is you're getting the defense, they got to run. Like they got to run laterally to stay in their gap. And you're just trying to have one guy on offense either hook the guy out of his gap or cut him. Cut him on the, usually on the backside of the play. You get one guy cut down to the ground and then boom, that gap is open. As everything's going laterally, the running back puts his foot in the ground, gets upfield, there actually ends up being a pretty big hole there. So the idea is the faster you go outside, you get them to stretch horizontally, it creates a seam in the defense. The running back puts his foot in the ground. People think he's going outside. He's going right downhill. He's going right north and south. At some point after he makes that one cut and hits it, it's a scheme that has been extremely effective really at every level. A lot of teams in the NFL run it because some of the beauty of it too, Jim, is that you're able to run a lot of bootleg and play action off of it because they get everybody running that one direction. Well, then you bootleg the other way. The tight end's open, the receiver's open, or the quarterback can even get on the edge.
I'm assuming this can also be part of an RPO scheme where the quarterback is reading someone, I don't know, maybe a linebacker in that situation. If he's coming up to fill that hole, I throw it over him. If he backs up, I'm handing the ball off.
Not really on the wide zone stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's more on the – I think they can on the backside of some of the wide zone stuff, but that's really more of an inside zone thing. Although I think that there can be some RPOs on the backside of it, but you better really get rid of that ball fast because, you know, your linemen are going lateral. There's even more of a chance that, you know, that defensive end can get up the field and get your quarterback. They tend to do more bootlegs off of outside zone and more RPOs off of inside zone.
Gotcha. All right. Next up is Dominic in Cranberry Township, who says, which member of the incoming freshman class do you believe will have an impact this season?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, it's interesting because there's not like one guy that really stands out. I guess I would say maybe Zaki Wheatley. I guess the two guys that would jump out to me would be Zaki Wheatley, and believe it or not, Lonnie White Jr. Lonnie White is a total freak of nature, and they don't really have that big receiver. You know, you've got Parker Washington, you've got Jahan Dotson. I feel like Lonnie White could be the big-bodied receiver on third down. He could be the guy they throw the fades to in the end zone, although I know a lot of people aren't real happy with that. But I'm going to say Zaki Wheatley, who's a safety with really nice range and size. Maybe he could be a freshman safety. That's a tough position to get playing time at, but maybe. Or maybe on special teams or something. And then I'll say Lonnie White, the receiver from Philly, Malvern Prep, although neither one of those guys enrolled early. So the guys that enrolled early that I think might have a chance, probably Kalen King, the corner and returner from Detroit. Michigan. He was pretty impressive.
Couple quick notes here. You mentioned Lonnie White. I think a lot of people saw some of his basketball highlights. Remember, he's also a baseball player, really good baseball player, and he could be a high draft pick in baseball. So look out for that. Also, let this be a reminder. At some point during this offseason, we are going to do Ross's rankings of all the incoming freshmen. You won't want to miss that, one of our most popular segments. Next up, Ross, let's stick with some of the incoming freshmen. Dan from Berwick says, I know how highly you thought of Zariah Fisher, but with the shortage at defensive end, and even assuming he's a long-term linebacker, is it better to get him some reps at defensive end or make sure he just keeps practice reps at linebacker?
It's a good, really good question. Really good question. You know, they haven't had that much success, really, and maybe this will be the year where Tar Burton plays more, but they haven't had a ton of success with moving some of these guys up like that from linebacker to D end. But Fisher's one that absolutely has that kind of unique ability. Haven't heard a lot of buzz there though, Jim. And I haven't talked to anybody really in a while. So maybe they really liked him on scout team this year, but haven't heard a lot of buzz about Zariah Fisher, you know, and what he did in practice and what he might be able to do moving up. I think it's certainly a conversation that the Penn State coaches should have.
All right. Next up is Dave from Lancaster. He says he's got two questions. How far would Micah Parsons need to slide in the draft for you to say it was a mistake for him to sit out this year? And his second question, he feels he needs to ask a food question, I guess, Ross. He says, what's your go-to Thai food?
All right. So good questions. As for the, what was the football question? I already lost it.
How far down would Micah Parsons have to slide in the draft for you to say that it was a mistake for him to sit out? There's been a couple mock drafts where Micah Parsons is down, you know, like 15, 20. So I think that's what prompted this question.
I would say if he's not in the top 20, that said, it sounds like, Jim, the concerns with Micah are more off the field, are more of a maturity perspective. I've seen multiple reports out there that, you know, people are aware of some of the things that happened with Micah in high school and even at Penn State. And even since he's turned pro, and I think there are some concerns about Micah's maturity, would be the best way to describe it. So in saying that, I would say I don't think it's that he didn't play that hurt him. I think it's these maturity questions. Although, you know, I guess you can go either way. Perhaps if he was with Penn State all fall and that there wouldn't be as many maturity questions because he would have kind of been with the program and whatever it is that people are concerned about wouldn't have happened.
Does sitting out a season, does that have any effect on how the NFL will look at a player? Like, he didn't choose to come back to be a team guy and he just loves football so much he can't stand being off the field versus a guy who just says, hey, it's a smart business decision. Does that have any effect on how they look at a player in the NFL?
So I think there might be some old school gut people, old school scouts that don't love it. And I understand that, and I don't blame them. But I think the GMs and the people that make the decisions, they know that if a kid sat out the year, that he did it because he had representation telling him that it was the best move for him. And they totally understand that. They don't look, a lot of these guys would probably, if they're being honest, do the same thing with their sons because they understand the money that's at stake here. So I don't think it really affects them.
Next up is Steve from Chicago. Ross, you are the odds maker in Vegas. What are your odds on below and why? Here's his three things he gives you. One, Penn State gets a transfer quarterback from the portal. Two, Devin Ford enters the transfer portal in the spring. Three, Penn State wins the Big Ten East in 2021.
What, I'm giving the odds on those?
Odds, or I'll tell you what. Why don't you just even rank them if you think they're – or if they're probable to happen. A transfer quarterback, Devin Ford transferring, or Penn State winning the Big Ten East.
I'll say Penn State getting a transfer quarterback, one, winning the Big Ten East, two, Devin Ford transfer, three.
I think with the Devin Ford question, I think Steve was just looking at the running back room and saying, gee, is there not something that could happen there? Let's see who's next. Joe from Ebensburg, and this was actually from a couple weeks. Does Penn State need to reevaluate their strength and conditioning program? On paper, it looks like our O-line and D-line would be pretty decent, but they got manhandled in several games this year. I refuse to accept that Iowa's 2- and 3-star recruits could bully our linemen.
Yeah, I mean, they've been praised so much, actually, Jim, for what how ready these guys are for the combine and stuff. They always kill it at the combine. So I don't know if I'll go there, but I would say I was disappointed early in the season in how the O-line and D-line played. And by the way, before I forget,
yeah,
I like Pad Thai and Pad CU. I forgot about the Thai food. Pad Thai. And it doesn't, I'd switch it up between chicken and pork, but Pad Thai and Pad CU.
All right. Everyone will take that recommendation from you, Ross. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around quarter number four. Bob and Andy are back and we'll announce our winner. Stay tuned.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight. Just bet $1 on either main event fighter to land a punch, and if that happens, you will cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.